Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Now think about this. You have people who want to do a little bit of the God thing. They want to show up, smorgasbord style, take something and leave, but they don't want to get connected with anybody. You know why? Because if you sat down and talked to them very long, you communicated and listened and followed them around, you'd figure out their life didn't match up with their words. There weren't even words to match up with.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're taking these few days to share some very important news with you. As we all know, the world is a very troubled place right now. And maybe your own heart has also felt very heavy for many reasons. Let me say that you don't have to walk this out alone. This program is committed to sharing the good news that promises hope for the hurting. And we have a great opportunity to come alongside of your Mayday, Mayday, Mayday call. More on that later. But for now, with today's talk, here is Richard Ellis.
For some reason, maybe more than ever in my life, the responsibility of what happens here has hit me harder than it ever has in my life. And there's some things about that that I think are very important to communicate to you as a church and where we are right now and as we go forward and continue to reach people. A church is not a circus. This is not some place you go because you hear there's a great act or a great show and you go check it out and you say, well, that was interesting. And then you go to another circus and then you go to another circus. A church is a body of believers. It is a family. And a family is something that you are in and you stay in for better or for worse. And I understand that God can move people from one church to another church. And I'll state it as clear as I can. Guys, I don't care if you come to this church. Get in some church where someone knows you. Someone cares about you. Someone is an overseer. Someone is responsible. Someone cares what happens to you and your life and your soul, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And I'm going to read you some things that really the scriptures say primarily to me. And I want to communicate to you my understanding of these and what these mean to me and what I see as my responsibility. Let's start with Acts chapter 20. And he is talking here to, if you go read the context, Paul is traveling on his way literally to die. And he's making stops at these places where he's established churches and put leadership in place. And he's saying goodbye, basically. And in Acts chapter 20, he's in Ephesus. He's meeting with these church leaders. And at the end, they literally all weep together because they know they'll never see him again until heaven. But in verse 25, he says, "And indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." He says to these people like me, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. And the word sometimes for overseer is bishop or overseer. And it's a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly. Any curator, guardian, or superintendent, the superintendent, elder, or overseer of a Christian church. Someone is responsible. And I'll point out this in another passage we read today. My job is not to be overbearing. It is not to be a dictator, because you may be under authority under a pastor, and I highly recommend that, and it's what I'm addressing today, but I am under tremendous authority. And I've been a part of churches before where some preacher just woke up and had some idea and said, well, we're just going to do this. And when he made that decision, the whole ship starts to turn, and you better pray to God that he heard from God or you're in a heap of trouble. So I'm impulsive a little bit. I may come up with wacky ideas, and some of you have heard those and are praying against them as we speak. This is not just a job for me. And if I've said this before, if the economy goes completely to wherever, I'll walk out here. I've worked before I did this. I'll go back to work in a full-time job somewhere, but you won't stop me from doing what I'm doing right now. I don't do this because I like it all the time or because of the money or anything like that. I could not do this if I tried. And Paul said in another place, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. If somebody told me I couldn't do this anymore, you might as well just put me in the ground. That's how passionate I am about this. And it's not about speaking, because I really speak very little compared to what being a pastor is about, which is shepherding people and taking care of people during the week. But he says to this church, take care of those that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And this is where it gets very serious for me. Verse 29, "For I know this," Paul warns them and he warns us today, "I know this, that after I leave, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Now let me tell you what the nature of a church is. There are people who come very hungry to learn and to grow and to find Christ, but there are other people who come in that are very hungry to destroy what happens here. Their agenda is not of God. Their plans are not good. Their purposes are not good. They come in to be divisive. They come in to start rumors. They come in to be critical. They come in to be gossips. And instead of talking to people, they talk to each other about people. Or instead of talking to God about a situation, they talk to each other about a situation. If you got something that's bothering you, talk to God about it. And then if you can and you feel comfortable, go to the person about it. Or you will be a party to ripping a place wide open. It tears companies apart. And churches are no different. But he warns them. He says, "I know the second I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Their intent is to destroy it. There was a prayer on the prayer list this week about somebody, some guy who was using his Christianity to get women. And I don't have this in my notes. Let me tell you something. You girls, if some guy starts quoting Scripture and wants to pray with you and puts the God move on you, you better watch him like a hawk. And I'm not being mean to the guys. You find out who he is, what his character is, what he is consistently. If he does really trust God, does he walk the walk? Or does he just talk some talk that he learned to get chicks? Now you guys are like, "Well, I don't like that." Well, you'll get over it. Don't go diving into relationships because somebody flashes the God card. You find out who they are and where they are in their life, whether you can trust them or not. Guard your emotions. Lest anybody feel left out, there are women who do the same thing. And a guy who thinks he's safe in a situation and some, you know, girl can put a move on, and we'll just leave it at that. Verse 30. So he says, "From the outside, these savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." But look at verse 30. "Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Now, this is where I'm going this morning. And I want everybody to listen very close. Maybe this is because of some experiences I've had before. I don't trust anybody but God. You say, "Well, that seems very cold and untrusting." Until I have reason to trust you, you come bebopping in here and say, "Well, I want to do this or that," I'm going to tell you what, I am watching you like a hawk, because my responsibility is for these ewe lambs, these new Christians, these older Christians, these mature Christians who are looking to me and under God, and I'll read it in a minute. I will answer to God for what happens to the people under my responsibility, and I take this very seriously. And you say, "Well, you won't let me lead, you want me to do that." I'm going to watch your life before I let you lead somebody else's life. Because if your intentions are good, great. If they're bad, I want to find that out. And we're not going to throw people into positions leading and taking people off on some garden path. It's in the book. Paul says, as sure as I'm here, they're going to come from the outside, but there'll be people who are raised up from the inside, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Verse 31, "Therefore watch, keep your eyes and ears open." And we are more susceptible now as a church than ever, because as more people come, it's harder to track everybody and what's going on. And I got my eyes and I got my heart and my prayers, but it's going to take all of us. And when you sense or see something, you talk to God about it and say, "God, what is going on here? What is wrong with this?" And protect one another and watch out for one another and see what's going on really around you. "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And almost every Sunday, that's what I have to do. I see you. Some of you I won't see for another week. Some of you I won't see for another 6 months. This is your first time, last time, first time in a long time. And I look out there and I go, "God help me and God help us do the best we can." But at some point, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. At some point, it's like the first time I remember, I wouldn't do this anymore today. I remember when I started learning how to ride a bike. I got on that bike, learned how, and took off, just was gone. If my little girls learned how to ride a bike and took off, you wouldn't let a kid go off anywhere anymore. But every Sunday, I know that we are tied in here together. We're a family. There's encouragement. There's worship. There's prayer. There's all these things. But you walk out of here, and the enemy pounces on you. And see, I talk to you, and some of you are terrified. Well, if Richard found out what I'm doing or what I'm involved with or what happens during the week, he'd excommunicate me if that were possible. You're all getting hammered. We're all getting hammered. There are people in the last week in this room, you've slept with somebody you shouldn't have slept with. You've gotten wasted. You've used drugs. You've cheated on your income taxes. You've stolen from your employer. You've done stuff that if we all stood up and shared and all the books were opened, you'd be terrified of the things that you've done and seen and been involved with. And the enemy uses that and says, you know what? Stay away. You're not worthy. Stay away. Don't go back down there. Those people will judge you. They'll condemn you. I don't have the right to judge you, number one, and I don't have the right to condemn you. Only you can condemn yourself, according to the Scriptures. Our job is to have an emergency room, a hospital, a community, whatever it takes, so when you get hammered, you have a place to come back. Now, if you choose to live a life of sin and bring that in here, it ain't going to work. We're going to challenge you to do the right thing. We're going to speak the truth in love and be concerned enough to say something. And I have some pretty cut-to-the-chase conversations with some of you, but you know when I have them that I love you or I wouldn't say anything. And I have some people have them with me in the last year. I've had some pretty cut-to-the-chase conversations about stuff that I needed help with. But guys, this is a family. This is not a spectator sport. This is not like going to the movie, watching a big screen, and walking out and saying, well, I'm glad that's over. You cannot just come and watch. You have to connect. You have to participate. And you have to get somewhere and thank God you're somewhere where someone is overseeing, someone is caring, someone is protective, someone is watching out for you. I'm going to jump from verse to verse here a little bit. Hebrews 13:7, first of all. The writer to the Hebrews says this, remember those who rule over you. This is not the word rule as applies to a king. This is not a dictator. This is not some presidential person. The word here is hegeomai, if you care about these things. It means to lead, to go before, to be a leader, to have authority over, use of any kind of leader, chief commander, the leader in speech, chief spokesperson, to consider, deem, account, or think. Those are some of the definitions for this. It's someone who leads. If you remember Braveheart, anybody seen Braveheart? One of my favorite shots in the whole movie is when, what's his name? Mel Gibson. They all know the movie characters. We're trying to get, there we go. Anyhow, Mel Gibson, there's this hellacious battle. Mel Gibson is out in the front of that battle, sword drawn, and then up on the hill behind him are these guys in all this fancy stuff on white horses. Remember that? And when the battle turns, so do they. And I've used this example before, guys, but I'm going to tell you something. I intend to die with sword drawn on the front lines. And this is a battle. And the devil, whether you believe in him or not, is not playing games. And all I got to do to prove that to you is I'll take one of you and follow you around for a week and say, look, you see, here he comes. You see these old quote-unquote friends? You know what they got in mind? Ripping you to pieces. And the devil's using them to do it. Watch out for them. But see, I can't go everywhere with all of you and watch out. So I pray. And I try to be an example. And I'm telling you guys, you watch me, but don't watch me. You watch him. You follow him. Because my job is to follow him and let him lead me and help him get him to lead me, to lead you, and that we go the right place with the right priorities in the right direction. But this is war. And it is not some game. And it's not just some little thing you do church on the side. It is about your life. It is about your future. It is about your forever. And God has tremendous power and a great plan, but the devil has a certain amount of power and a terrible plan for your life, and he intends to inflict all the pain on you he can, and he always baits it with pleasure and then smacks you, stomps you, squashes you like an ant. He says, remember those who rule over you, who have leadership responsibility over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. If you're going to follow something, follow the faith. If you think I have faith and you think the outcome of that faith is a good thing worth following, then you follow that. Then look down at verse 17. Now, I'm saying some things that are not very, I've said a lot of things recently that are not very popular, I guess. But you know why people do not get in church? They don't get involved in a church anywhere? Because they don't want to be under anybody's authority. You know why people don't want to get under anybody's authority? Because they don't want anybody telling them what to do, because they think that's what it's about. It's not about that. For years, I did not want it to be under anybody's authority. I thought, well, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm the boss, and I can tell people what to do, and I run the place. I don't have to answer to anybody. I work for God. Let me tell you why people are afraid to be under authority. They don't want you knowing what's going on in their life. Not to go meddling and just saying, oh, you're evil, but to say, hey, what's up with that? I didn't want to be accountable to anybody under anybody's authority because I didn't want them to know what kind of sins I was involved in. Because I thought if anybody ever found out what I was thinking or doing, I'd be hung up by my toes. So I kept people away from me. Now think about this. You have people who want to do a little bit of the God thing. They want to show up, smorgasbord style, take something and leave, but they don't want to get connected with anybody. You know why? Because if you sat down and talked to them very long, you communicated and listened and followed them around, you'd figure out their life didn't match up with their words. There weren't even words to match up with. You need people around you. I need people around me that I'm under authority, accountable. I mean, I thank God for Claude Townsend. My mentor lives in Jackson, Mississippi. I mean, if Claude picks up the phone and calls me today and said, Richard, I've been praying about this. Something's got to change. You're out of line. You know what I'd say? I'd say, I'm going to pray about that and listen because I respect him and I trust him and his relationship with God and the relationship with me and the fact that he cares about me. You need someone around you that can look you in the eyes and say, you know what? You're full of it. And I love you enough to tell you why, and I'm going to not just point it out and state it, I'm going to help you make it. I'm going to help you go down the path, and let's do this together. Does this make sense? Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now look what this says. And this involves you in more ways than you realize. If you don't believe that as a pastor, I am under God's authority and listening to Him, that you can trust me, you need to get another church. Is everybody listening close? You need to be somewhere. And if you go into church and you look up and say, I can't be under the authority and under the rulership, the leadership of whoever's in authority in that church, you need to go somewhere else. But you need to get somewhere where you trust the leadership, where you trust the direction, where you trust and believe that they care about you as a person. And that it isn't just a circus, that it isn't just a show, that it's really about caring about people, finding out where they are and helping them go in the right direction. And look what it says here. Be submissive, follow their leadership, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Now, I will give an account in a different way than you will. I believe the day's coming, I will stand before God and I will give an account for everybody in this room and beyond. It's in the book. And I'm going to tell you what, there are days I don't even want this responsibility. Because it is an awesome, ominous thing to think that one day God's going to say, okay, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Were you just playing church? Did you think it was cool that people came? You had some nice music and you had a crowd? What happened to these people? What were you thinking? Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The more I follow God, the more you follow me, the more we move together, not out of this grinding thing, the easier it's going to be for all of us. It'd be unprofitable for you if it's a nightmare for me. Now, I see this thing somewhat like a marriage. And if you know my wife and know how things are in my life and my home, I lead our home, but I am not a dictator. She is very strong, and that is a good thing. I want people around me who are strong, not stupid, and that will say, Richard, you know, you're saying this, but you know what we've been praying too? What about that? Why don't we pray together about it? Are we really there? Are you sure that's what you're hearing from God? I want people not so much to challenge, but to confirm. Because if God's in it, somebody, other godly person, is going to feel the same way. So let's pile in here together. Let's pray together. That's why this prayer thing is huge. We've got to pray together and stay together as a church to make sure we're really following Him. You pray for me. I pray for you. We pray together and say, God, help us if we miss the mark here. And we get off track. We don't have time to be off track. There's a job to do. There are lives at stake. Yours, mine, and people that aren't even here yet. But speak up. It's kind of like a marriage. And I say, Beck, what do you think? Should we do this or that? Should we sell this or that? Should we give this or that? What should we do? And I say, you know, this is what I'm thinking. And she says, well, I don't agree. Let me tell you something. When my wife says, I'm not hearing that, I listen. Well, I don't care. I'm the husband here. I'm the man of the house. I'll do whatever I want to. There are guys out there that believe that stuff. And just ask their wives how happy they are. It's hell being under dictatorship. So that's not the point. It is a give and take. But sooner or later, the buck stops somewhere and a decision has to be made in a lot of different areas. And you need to be somewhere where the people are making decisions, where you are praying for and together with them and saying, God, help us to know where to go. All right, one other place, and it's 1 Peter 5. Turn over there, and this is our last little passage. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1 says this, the elders who are among you, I exhort. An elder is another word for pastor, for a teacher. In this, it was a term that was also used for an older person who had respect. Anyhow, he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, this is Peter writing this, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. This is a verb here, too. Shepherd, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Be a shepherd. Take care of these sheep. This is written to me. You say, well, why are you reading me stuff written to you if it's not written to us? Because it ought to matter to you that it matters to me that this is written to me and I take it seriously. He says to me, shepherd these sheep. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Be a shepherd. Take care of them. I mean, if you've ever been, I've read some books on shepherding. If you talk to shepherds, these shepherds walk out, they know every sheep in their flock. They know which ones have bugs. They know which ones have, you know, diseases. They know which ones are well that are sick. The personalities, how they operate, who's going to run away and come back, who's going to run away and not want to ever come back, who's going to get into trouble. They know these sheep. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly. Let me tell you something, guys. The only reason I have to do this is because I have to do this under God, because I couldn't do anything else. I've tried. And there is nothing. There's no amount of money you're going to offer me to get me out of here. No job, no excitement, no whatever it is. There's just nothing out there. There is nothing like doing what God wants you to do. And this is what He made me to do. I have no question in my mind. So it's not by compulsion. It's willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you or a dictator, but being examples to the flock. The way this ought to work is you ought to be able to follow me around and say, you know what, that's kind of an idea of what I think I ought to want to do. This guy shares his faith. I want to share my faith. This guy prays. I want to pray. This guy reads his Bible. I want to read my Bible. This guy loves God. I want to love God. I ought to set an example around here of what you ought to want to be scripturally. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Then he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. A church where God is alive and well and doing His thing will be filled with people who are humble from the top down. My goal and my desire, and if you don't know this yet, you need to know it, is that when anybody comes here and leaves this place, more than talking about how great the music was, how interesting the prayer time was, how interesting the sermon was, I want them going home saying what a great God these people have. It's not just that we ought to give God the glory, it's that God deserves the glory. And everything we are about and that we do ought to point to God, not to me, not to you, not to anybody else. It ought to point to Him. So humble yourselves, he says, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. And our Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for Jesus, who came, He lived, He died, was buried, and raised from the dead. And He is the head of the body, and we are the body. And Father, we publicly and audibly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God and Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that the people who come into these doors, wherever we meet, would know that they have come under the shadow of the Almighty, and that they are a part of a church that loves You and is loved by You and has a desire to love them and to help them, not to harm them, not to gossip about them, not to be critical or try to condemn, but God, that we desire to help them be all that You made them to be. And I pray even in this moment, Father, that someone would reach out the hands of their heart and say, God, I don't understand it completely. I don't know why You'd love me. You must know who I am and who I'm not. But I believe somehow, Father, I've never understood it before, but today I understand that Jesus loves me, that He died for me, that my sins can be forgiven. I ask You to forgive me my sin. I ask You to come into my heart, into my life, to change my heart, to change my life, and use me, Lord. Let me find out the reason You made me, the plan You have, the purpose for my life. Thank You for loving me, for forgiving me, that I not only have my past covered, but my future covered as well, and that I have eternal life promised in heaven with You, God, but I have an abundant life between here and heaven if I'll take it. Father, we love You today, and we worship You, we praise You, because truly worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and wisdom and praise. And we pray all of these things in the name of that Lamb, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen to Richard Ellis Talks. And for some, maybe your busy day is in the crosshairs of being a very hard day. You may be wondering if anyone is there for you. Let me assure you, you are not alone. We here at Richard Ellis Talks are praying for you right now. One way you can help us know how to pray specifically for you is to share your prayer need there on our prayer wall at our website. richardellis.com. Your Mayday, Mayday, Mayday distress request will be taken seriously and prayerfully, and others have the opportunity to read your heart's request and pray for you as well. People who will come alongside of you in your time of need. We're confident that these programs connect with you and can be a source of encouragement and realigning your heart to the Savior. And because of a very generous donor, any financial gift you make to help us in this partnership will be doubled. Go to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the link to send us your very valued gift that will be used to continue reaching the hurting and lost. Again, that's richardellis.com. You can also send us your gift by calling 855-6-RICHARD. I can't tell you just how much that will mean to so many people, including Richard. You can make your tax-deductible gift, that's going to be doubled, by the way, to richardellis.com or by calling 855-6-RICHARD. One last time, that's richardellis.com or call 855-6-RICHARD. So until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you for your generous gift. Thank you for your faithfulness to this ministry. And we'll see you again right here on Richard Ellis Talks.